Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today's Thursday, April the 9th, 2015. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. I hear you, so Michael, I know you're on there. Welcome.
Hey, sweetheart. And we welcome everybody. It's a delight to have you with us, and the opportunity once again to focus on these awesome ancient principles, the healing process, the work of deeply integrating the understanding that we are responsible for the output of our minds, and that at any time we don't like the output of our minds, we can change them. We can remove whatever's at the root of those things we'd rather not be experiencing, and the tool for removing those things is forgiveness. Forgiveness, not in the Greek false sense of the word of I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, but rather, if I'm in pain or turmoil or trauma of any kind, then I am restored to love when I can let go of that which takes my attention away from love, the truth of my being. And love, as opposed to all the crazy definitions the world has come up with, our definition is singular, is simple, it's experiential. Hold a newborn child and you know exactly what love is. And that is our original created nature and the state we're designed to live out of. And when we fall into a culture that teaches us ideas and false meanings of words, we lose the ability to understand or think properly about those issues. You look at so many places in the world, you hear about, let's say, for instance, there was a post on Facebook the other day about discrimination, and the conversation was about, well, why can't we just love one another? And if we've been taught that love is a verb, then we think it's something we can do to each other, and thinking it's something we can do to each other, we fail. Because sooner or later, if you put two people together in a room long enough and often enough, they're going to step on each other's realities. And that means that some form of hostility or fear is going to tend to surface. And when it does, if we don't know that in fact we are love, that love isn't something that we do, then looking for the effect without engaging in the cause. You know, everybody wants the effect of everything in their lives to be wonderful. Like, you know, ask anybody, and you know, unless you got somebody that's really off the wall, they're going to say, yes, of course I want wonderful relationships. I want loving. I want all those wonderful things. And, you know, I pray for them every day, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. I wonder why not. Well, we've been taught a lie. You know, Karl Marx said, if you want to destroy a culture, change the meaning of its words. The reason you can destroy a culture by changing the meaning of its words is because a culture is transferred from human being to human being, from generation to generation, through words. If you misappropriate or misdefine words, then you can't transfer the culture that you're hoping to move from one generation to another. And so Karl Marx was pretty smart when he put that thought out there, and it is something that is caught on throughout the world, and so many words have had their meanings changed into things that are not accurate, and words aren't accurate, people can't think accurately. So if we're taught that love is a verb, is something we do to each other, then we tend to lose the ability to reason correctly and to realize and experience ourselves as love. Again, hold the newborn. We all come in as exactly the same energy. Nobody's any different. And then the world starts to put its thumbprints on us, and many of its thumbprints are put on us with words. One of the disastrous word changes is the word love has been made something we do to each other. I'm going to love you, you're going to love me. Well, my request would be of everyone to stop loving each other. Stop, because you can't do it. You're engaging in an effect without engaging in the cause. And so when you realize that love isn't a verb, it's not something you do, and the reason I say stop trying to love each other, or stop what the world calls loving each other, which is really a misunderstood word, it's approval. The world's definition of love is approval. You know, I'll love you if you do this and if you do that and if you. But if you recognize that the truth of your being is love, then rather than trying to love that other guy that's doing what you don't want them to do, that isn't agreeing with you, that isn't going along with your way of seeing the world, rather than trying to approve of them, which obviously if they're not seeing the world the way you do, you're not going to approve of them, then you stop trying to do that and you recognize yourself and you engage in cause of the result that you want. The result you want is loving behavior. Love has a certain way of behaving. If you want a good measuring stick for behavior, think of a behavior you're planning and imagine whether or not you'd find a newborn child doing it. If you don't find a newborn child doing it, then it's probably not something you want to do, because love behaves in a certain way. It does things that are loving, but strictly speaking, we are not loving each other. We are love, acting out of love, and doing things that the world describes as loving. But if you don't know that, you try to do loving behavior when hostility is moving you, it's pretty tough to do. When you get the words right, then you realize, oh, hostility is moving me. I think before I can do a loving behavior towards someone, I've got to experience the truth of who I am as love. And I do that by recognizing that my hostility, my fear is my own responsibility, and that that is something that I need to be about forgiving. So when we strive to return to our newborn nature, love, once we live as the truth of who we are, then the experience of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, pain, drama, and trauma toward others or toward self just isn't going to happen. Once one achieves their connection to their actual human lives, they've engaged in the cause of loving behavior. So stop trying to have an effect without engaging in a cause, and you'll find that as you pursue cause, your true nature, love, then loving behaviors will naturally flow from that. You know, people try to legislate love. You can't do it. They try to legislate, for instance, against discrimination. Rather than teaching the cause of the healing of discrimination, make it illegal. Now what have you got? You now have a perfect setup for somebody to make money. You know, the old line you've heard me use many times from Jerry Maguire, show me the money. So now let's create legislation that forces people not to discriminate, and now the lawyers will make billions. And, gee, how great a game is that? If you teach people the cause of loving behavior is, you teach people, create an environment where people have the tools to forgive their violence, their hate, their fear, and they get support in using those tools, it's not going to be a big money game for the court system and the lawyers, and we'll simply see ourselves forgiving the self-rejection, the rejection of others, the violence in ourselves, and there's the work that really needs to be done on the planet. So if you want true change in your community, work for the healing of and the return to human life. Working for legislation won't produce the cause of the effect that you're looking for. And sadly, most are obeying the Greek command that said, supposedly, love thy neighbor as thyself. And oftentimes, because people have been filled with loathing and rejection and hatred, especially of self in many cases, sadly, through their religions, then people are loving each other as they love themselves in that sense of it. And it's only true internal forgiveness that's going to change that. If you're interested in the technology of forgiveness, we have several different ways of accessing it. We've got all kinds of support materials free on our website. You can go to the website, www.whyagain.org, and you can download the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, free, and it'll give you the whole story of forgiveness and the how-to of forgiveness worksheet process. You can click on the bullseye in the middle of the page, the home page of our website, and there a set of links will begin to open. And you'll find, in particular, chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You'll find the second link is a variety of different worksheets for the how-to of forgiveness. The third link is a series of worksheets where we've walked somebody through the whole forgiveness process, and we've added a few links of important radio shows, ones that we consider to be, you know, really key. If you want to introduce somebody to the work, you can just give them a quick shot to that third link under the bullseye, and there are links to radio shows that instruct on the whole process of forgiveness, many different sets of instructions, many different live radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole process. And then there are several links to radio shows that we consider to be kind of the shining examples for someone who's new to the work or really wants to understand what's possible with this work. So you can access all of that free on our website. And of course, 5 days a week, an hour a day, you're welcome to be having a conversation with us, and we'd be delighted to support you. If you'd like to support us in return, another way you can access the material is you can go to our catalog and you can do paid support. You can buy DVDs, CDs of all the different workshops that we do, and the donations for those products will help to support and keep this work afloat and moving around to every corner of the globe, which is what we're working toward doing and moving toward. Jeannie is available to do one-on-one personal work if you want to, again, get some paid support, and that also supports us in keeping the work moving around the globe. So there are lots of different ways to do it, free and pay, whatever way you want to do it. We're delighted if you just go and access it and take it and move it forward around the globe. That's our whole purpose for being. The reason the extra is to make the tools and the principles of first century Aramaic forgiveness available freely to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. If you'd like to support us in that project, you can also go to our website. There's a button there, and you can click that donate button, and that will take you to PayPal. You don't need a PayPal account. You can just use a credit card if you'd like to donate. And you can donate on a recurring monthly basis. You can set it up so every month it just happens automatically. Or, you know, if you feel like you've gotten something out of the work and you want to shoot $10 into the pot, great, or $10,000 into the pot, great. That's a way to do it. So we're delighted to have you here, and you can rest assured that everything that you offer in support of this work will be used to take it further and further afield. For anyone that knows Jeannie and I, our standard of living is kind of in the medium range. We spend virtually everything that we've got to take this work further and further afield. Every project that we can initiate, that's what we'll do and move this around the globe. So delighted to have you with us. And Dr. Tim, are you with us today?
I'm here.
Well, I'm very here. Good. What's exciting in your world?
Today's show.
You had a support group last night, right?
No, that was the night before last.
Oh, the night before last. Oh, today's Thursday. You've got one tonight. That's right.
What was support exciting in my world was yesterday's show. And I occasionally write a blog, and so my blog today was about the yesterday's radio show with Michael and Terry.
Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it?
That's a winner.
They're
all very good, but Yeah, there's a level of testimonial there that's going to be hard to beat. And I talked about it in my business networking group this morning, and I wrote a blog about it today and put the link out there so people can get easy access directly to the show. And
cool.
That's, you know, we talk about it. I know the tools have changed my life dramatically, and they continue to be valuable to me as I use them.
And you and I have had an easy time of it by comparison to the two testimonials we had yesterday, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
you and I, with the lives we've lived, have been pretty mamby-pamby. Oh, yes, we've had our challenges, but nothing, like nothing compared to what those two fellas have been through and worked through. It's just, it's awesome. I did ask Jeannie to put that on the link with the worksheets as one of the important shows, because it's powerful to hear, you know, just straight up, here's what I'm doing, here's what happened.
Well, and the idea that it can work for people who've been through all kinds of trauma is something I've been trying to tell people for a long time. And yet, here are two people who lived it and picked up the tools and applied them and are getting absolutely fabulous results. So that's go ahead.
I certainly understand how difficult it is for somebody who's in a tough posture, a tough situation, to conceive of. You mean I can actually change this whole dynamic? I mean, it's hard to conceive of, especially I think one of the things that happens is over the years people have tried this and they've tried that and they've tried this and they've tried that, and they just come to the point, well, you know, it's really clear that nothing works. I'm just destined to live in this trauma. And then, of course, you listen to those two conversations yesterday from Terry and Michael, and you realize that it really doesn't matter how deep and, you know, traumatic it is. Trauma is just an energy that can be moved out of the structure. And when you run into this, you know, first century Aramaic Yeshua with his first century Aramaic forgiveness, and I personally feel so blessed to have come into contact with that and to be able to do what I do, to take it to the planet and watch results like that happen. You know, it's just, it's awesome.
Yes, it is indeed. And we had a lovely group
cool.
on Tuesday, and we'll have another lovely group tonight. But I would I would encourage people to listen to yesterday's show if they haven't, and I would encourage us to see if there are any more stellar callers.
Yes, actually, Jeannie tells me that we do have some callers, and of course, the support group tonight will be in Crystal Lake at Dr. Tim Hayes' office. Links on our website for that. And it's at 7 o'clock, Tim?
6:30 to 9
tonight in Crystal Lake. So if you're in that area of Chicagoland, or that corner of Chicagoland, go meet Dr. Tim and join him for an evening of healing and learning. It's a powerful, powerful process to do. So, Jeannie, let's check in on our callers and see what they have to say.
All right. Yes, we have three. The first one's area code 570. You're on the air. Who do we have?
That's me. This is Kathy from Pennsylvania. I called yesterday.
Hey, welcome, Kathy. Glad to hear your voice.
Hi, Michael.
You
know, I'm not going to be a stellar caller. I almost feel like my problems aren't big enough to call in about. But, you know, because my life is...
You know, as I was just saying to Dr. Tim, you know, our lives, his life as a kid and mine, were easy, comparatively speaking, and... You know, the thing is, if you got a pain in your big toe, and that's what's going on in your world, you know, your big toe's got
to
be taken care of.
And you know,
and
to
of
me,
course,
this
it's nothing
big.
To somebody who's just been through a major wreck, but still, you know, you have to take care of what needs to be taken care of to move to the next level. So there are no small questions.
And you are part of the synchronicity that is my life. About a month ago, I started saying out loud, for only my dog to hear, because it's just the two of us here, how much longer, how much longer. And then I found you through, I think, Ruby and Ethel from Living From Within. Have you ever been on their show?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
but
well, roundabout. Well, somebody that I found through them, I found you through that person. And I have had more progress, and my heart is thumping because I've never called a talk show. This is not me to do this. And I have made more progress. It's almost like for the past 2 years, every possible trigger that I have is up and functioning, and I have myself immobilized here because of a decision that I made about 2 years ago regarding taking care of my mother in her home so she could live her life out here. I never factored in Alzheimer's-like dementia, which one person can't do, and I have that guilt. But your worksheets have taken me back to the very place, I think, where I see, the worksheets have me. It's like if I open my mouth, I can say to you, I've met my destiny on the path I chose to avoid it. That's one of my favorite quotes, and that's me right now. And I'm stuck here in my mother's house.
So when you say it's just you and your dog, does that mean it's you and your dog and mom?
No. About 18 months ago, she had an accident in the home and had to go into nursing home care. And because I was down to 92 pounds with panic attacks. I just couldn't bring her home. And the guilt of making that decision. Now, I'm living with the guilt. I wake up, I have to grab a Benadryl every morning. I don't take Benadryl. I don't take any medications at all.
Okay.
But I have now what I call smothering asthma. You know, it's all in my head.
Okay, so let's take a breath. Slow down a little bit.
Yeah, breathing would be good.
yeah. And notice your denial. Let's start with one of the most basic principles of this work. Are you familiar with the definition of denial that we use?
Not yet.
Okay, so denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of something inside of me. So notice that your mind is telling you that you have all of this guilt because of the decision you made about your mom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to offer to you that that's total denial. You don't have that guilt because of the decision you made about your mom. You have that guilt because you have that guilt in you. And mom is a convenient place to hang it. You know, if I were to say to you, so let's see, mom can't stay in her home, so you supported her by making the best decision possible to put her into assisted living, and you're guilty about that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, because this is best for her. It's so good for her.
Yeah. So obviously you couldn't possibly be guilty about that, but your mind can kind of paint a picture. When you go into denial, here's what happens. With denial, you take the dissociated or hidden part of your mind and you paint pictures on the inside of your eyeballs with that paintbrush. And the paintbrush you're using right now is the paintbrush of guilt. And so mom is the object of attention, so now I'm guilty because of what I did to mom. And notice how illogical that is, but that doesn't stop you from doing it because you're in denial. When you undo your denial, when you start recognizing, oh, I have guilt. Oh, it's not about mom. It's not about anything other than I have this guilt. Now, I might go back to when I was 20 years old or 8 years old or 12 years old or 6 years old and say, well, I was guilty because I threw sand in the baby buggy in the baby's face, and I'm guilty. And so once again, there's denial, and what I have in me is a genetic predisposition to guilt and environmental reinforcement. So what I do is I engage in the forgiveness process around guilt. Now, in this situation, number 1C would be mom, because she's the object of attention your mind is using to use the paintbrush guilt to paint this picture on the inside of your eyeballs that you're so bad and guilty. And so you put your name in number 1A and acknowledge I am love.
Are you
I'm
on the seven-step worksheet or the longer
seven
one?
The seven-step worksheet. No, the seven-step.
Okay.
The most current worksheet.
Okay.
So number 1A would be your name and the acknowledgement that you are love.
I am.
And then I feel guilt, and the object of attention of this guilt is mom. And the situation, of course, is I put her in a nursing home, therefore I am a bad person, or whatever
yeah.
your descriptors are.
Yeah.
And so having laid that out, then you want to take a look at, in step 1D, what's the thought I use to pretend that I'm guilty, to create this feeling of guilt? What's the thought?
The thought
that
is,
you think?
I really wanted to be here for her so she could die peacefully in her own home. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Is that...
So, but notice that's... wanting, now I want to be superwoman.
Oh, yeah.
So
that
mom,
is my... I am way too... Yeah, I'm way too overly responsible for everything. I've always taken on more than
yep.
I need to.
So you might want to cancel your need to be superwoman. You know, okay. Fallon hurt herself. Is that your fault? That now you can't fulfill the goal you had to be there and support her through dying in her own home? So then that would be still another worksheet. That's what we call the Hydra effect. So I dig out a second worksheet, and I'd put the goal that you just stated.
Okay.
I put the goal in number three that you just uncovered. I wanted to be here for mom to
okay.
support her through where she could die in her own home. So just,
yeah.
And that's kind of what Jeannie calls backing into a worksheet. Jeannie, you have any thoughts on that?
No, I think I covered it very well. Just, you know, you put in, you fill in the areas that you know, and then you can take a breath and then look at it and then fill in the other blanks as it comes to you. You don't have
so that
to
would
start
be a second
with 1A.
I see how you do it. Yeah.
Good breath. Now, that's the kind of breath that lets that energy go. You're right on track.
Okay. And now what I've created for myself is a really bad setup, because this is her house that I'm living in. And because of the way we lived over a period of 12 years, I find myself now scared about my own future. And that's not me, because I have had a synchronistic life. Everything falls into place for me. And I trusted that. And I can feel myself, I've lost that trust. I just feel terrified of what might happen.
How cool is that? That you synchronistically led to have your terror come up and be in a space where you're sitting here with Jeannie and Dr. Tim and myself
yeah,
being
well,
supported
that's
and
what,
working
that's,
through that. How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's your synchronicity.
It's
so,
always there.
So then here's what you know is that in your history or in your genes, there's terror.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now you're in a space that's safe to allow that terror to surface. Forgive as to your terror so that you dissolve terror from your bloodline.
Wow. This is,
you know,
what has captured me with your teaching. You get into the genetics, the absolute cellular structure of it. I never heard that before, and that is so true. Because I can see it. I can feel it in me. I can see it in my mother, through her mother, you know.
Let me make a guess. Was one of your mother's fears that she'd end up not being able to die in her own home?
Yes, that was her big fear. That was it. And
yeah.
look what happened. You know?
You know, there was this guy 2,000 years ago. Well, actually, this one was more like, I'm not even sure, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, a guy named Job. And he says, that which I feared most has come upon me.
Feared has come. Yep. And
fear,
this is,
fear
yeah.
is an amplifier for energy. If I have a thought that something can come to me and I add the amplifier fear, I just set up an energy wave to draw it. Forgiveness is what collapses it and gives me access to the root of that. And, you know, as you access the root of that in you and clean up that fear that borders on terror, you might just open the energy window for whatever's going on for mom to open and heal as well.
Okay. Okay, I can see that, because this is really recent for me. It's almost like in the span of the 18 months that she's been gone from here, I can feel myself becoming her. And this, what you just said to me, this is not like me to have this terror. Where is my, oh, it will be, you know, where have I gone? I feel like, but I see now through what you teach that this was always inside me anyway. It just never came up till now.
Exactly.
Is that possible?
Exactly. That's precisely it. And now you're in a safe space. You're at a level where you've got a space where you've got the room to look at these deeper levels and allow them to surface. And the purpose for them surfacing is just to wash them out, to use the scoop of first century Aramaic forgiveness to scoop that stuff out of you and free yourself from it. So it sounds like the perfect setup.
Yeah, I had a feeling that God had me on a crash course to straighten myself out. I really do.
Yeah, you might want to watch that crash word. You probably
don't do any crashes.
Yeah. How about I've agreed to get on a path where I get support for looking at everything I need to look at and gently moving through it and moving to the next level of my conscious creative process.
Okay.
That'll take you a lot further than a crash course, I promise you.
Yeah.
Words are important.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounds like you're really ready to do, you know, a deep layer of work. And we're getting ready, you know, starting next Friday, we're starting a 9-day Genius Working with Healing the Whole Woman intensive here in Florida. You might want to make the space to delve in, you know, to really immerse yourself in a deep layer of work.
See, now I hear you, and what is it about me that just wants to say, how can I possibly do that? See, I can't. I just can't do that.
Breathe.
It's too
and
far.
And what is it that stops you from doing it?
Well, time availability. I'm self-employed. I've got to generate all my own income from several different sources. And if I'm too far away, what do I do with the dog? She's a pit bull. I mean, I'm making a million excuses. I know that's what I want to do, but I know I won't do it. And where is that coming from?
Well, it's probably coming from your fear-based thoughts. So how about if you took a breath and let go of your fear-based thoughts and tap into the thoughts where you know you live in synchronicity and support and open the space and the possibility that, well, you know, the intensive happens and we've got most mornings off so I could dedicate a little bit of time to the work that I need to do. I certainly can create someone showing up who'd be happy to take care of the dog. And, you know, Michael and Jeannie are happy to work with people if finances are a challenge to break the cost down over whatever period of time you need to do it and set yourself up to do it. I mean, you can take your mind whatever direction you want.
I know that.
And notice that out of fear, your mind tends to go in a certain direction, and you can change its direction around if you choose to.
See, and that I just don't believe. That is my problem right there. I've got to keep on working. I've got to work through this. I know what you're saying is true, but I cannot get to that point. I feel like I am too responsible for too many things, and that
So how about just a little shift in thought rather than I can't do it? How about maybe just shifting the thought just a little bit to, well, I haven't cleaned that one up, but I haven't done that one yet.
Yeah.
And then you could step into the willingness of, and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to clean that part of my mind up.
Yeah, that I am.
And create differently. Yeah. It's cool. Sounds right on track.
Yeah. Well.
There's a third layer. That's another nice breath. That's the kind of breath to pay attention to. That's the one that moves the energy that your mind is focused on that needs to heal. So you're right on track with it.
Okay.
It's that spontaneous breath that comes. And so it sounds like you've just uncovered several worksheets to do. Do you have any questions on the forgiveness process and how to move through those layers?
Well, my mind is like a blank right now because there's something. I don't know what it is. The forgiveness, I got lost. I have just disappointed myself because I know what I have to do and I'm refusing to do it. I'm making excuses for myself.
Okay. So there's another worksheet. So once again, I, your name, who am love, feel disappointment. Who's my object of attention? Me. What's the situation? I'm making excuses for myself and not doing what I know I can do. How do I feel? Is it hopeless, helpless? And if it's a layer of hopelessness and helplessness that's up, then you want to forgive as to your hopelessness and helplessness. By looking at the thought beneath it, the goal that you have for yourself, and it sounds like the goal in this case would be to be totally competent, and then cancel the goal to be totally competent, and allow yourself to access the deeper parts of the file in your mind on competency, and clean out the junk that's in there. And you then just move to the next level pretty naturally, pretty much automatically.
Yeah. I think maybe when you say, you know, you're having something in just a few weeks, it's too quickly. I mean, you know, it's just too quickly. I can't move that fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not an excuse. That's a matter of logistics
and
getting everything together and paperwork and...
I certainly understand that, and so then you might want to go to the website. You know, if you are ready to do another layer of work, you might just want to jump on the website and download the schedule for this summer. We'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again this summer. We'll be doing a 16-day codependence communication workshop this summer. Jeannie will be doing an 8-day healing the whole woman, so there are a variety of things. And, you know, we don't start that until July. So if logistically it doesn't make sense to be here on the 17th, which is just a little better than a week away, I certainly understand that one. And if the logistics aren't there, then cool. But then, so maybe now start making the plan so that you've got the time to set up the logistics for this summer instead of waiting till July and going, oh, it's too close. I can't do it. It's too close. But start setting it up now, make a commitment, and go for it.
Yeah, there's a comfort in that. That I can feel. It's like it's just a comfort. Well,
and the deepening of the experience, the energetic experience, and the understanding of the process that happens in an intensive is just really beyond imagination. When you get a whole group of people who are each shining the light of love on your process when you're in your stuff, and then you're shining the light of love on their process when they're in their stuff, the movement that happens, you know, I don't know if you were on the show yesterday, but Michael Coughlin, he showed up at Heartland last summer in July in a wheelchair. And 6 weeks later, he was running up and down the hill. And for the first time in 10 years, he's back in the gym. He's able to go in and do weights and rebuild his body. You know, that's the kind of stuff that can happen in that kind of support space.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of making a commitment to it, setting your life up so that that's where you can move and go for it.
That is exactly. I mean, it's what I believe. I believe in tapping and breathing and moving yourself forward, not in wallowing in pity. And I've been wallowing in pity. And what you're saying is it makes perfect sense. And that I can do. That I can do. I can plan for July. You know?
Yay.
Well,
cool.
Okay. I guess that's it. I really appreciate your taking the time. I don't know. We're finished, do you think?
Well, if there's anything else we can do to support you, if there are any refinements on the worksheet or any support you need there, I'm delighted to offer it if you have any more questions in regards to where to go. And, you know, when we finish the show or when we finish our conversation, dig into the worksheets, and then if more questions develop, then call in tomorrow and keep us posted on your progress.
You know, I'm just gonna keep going on these worksheets because I uncovered something from when I was just a little child, and that.
Mm-hmm.
That is where it is, and I can see a couple of things. I'm going to do those three memories because my natural father died in a plane crash when I was little, and when I was eight, and that has come up for me, and two other things. So I'm going to start with that, and all
awesome.
I can say is I appreciate your time today.
And that's. You know, that's the whole idea of the forgiveness process, where it seems illogical to identify what it is that you want out of a situation and then cancel your need for that. That's the key way to collapsing the projections of the mind and dropping into those deeper layers that are the root of those surface things that seem to be so real in the moment but really are just projections out of the past. By canceling... Yeah, specifically, be very specific in each situation for looking at the goal that you have in that situation. And then as you cancel that, that goal is the driver for the whole perceptual process, and that opens the pathway into the hidden content. And that's what allows you to just drop into that. You know, geez, I haven't thought of that event in 40 years. What do I do to think about that now? Well, I had a surface picture in my mind, reality, driven by this goal, and when I canceled this goal, I was able to drop into what's underneath it and creating that projection. And when I can bring that which is underneath the surface forward in the active presence of love, which is why in step four you really focus into strengthening the presence of love, then when those two things meet, that which is unlike love simply begins to dissolve and you get to be free of it.
But, and when you say cancel the goal, see, I think that's where I'm getting stuck because I don't see really where goal, like the goal I would have for something that happened so very many years ago. I cannot explain what I'm trying to say. What goal?
Well, let me offer a thought.
Okay.
One of the, you know, in our codependence to interdependence workshop, one of the things that we offer are what I call the pseudo-solutions of the non-being mind. The number one pseudo-solution of the non-being mind is, if I could just figure this out.
Okay, yeah.
You can't figure it out.
No.
I don't care what kind of genius mind you have, you can't figure it out. But you can forgive it.
Okay,
and as you
all
forgive
right, bingo.
It, each time you do, you'll drop into the next deeper hidden part of your mind, like what kind of trauma happens to a child whose father dies in a plane crash? What needs to be cleaned up there? Now, that opening that up may be your next 500 worksheets.
I think that is. I think that, and when I was four, well, three and a half, almost four, I cut my chest open when I fell on a milk bottle catching lightning bugs, and I have vivid recollections of that now that I haven't thought of I'm 63 years old, and I can remember that night I can remember things that, I mean, they're really vivid, and most of my childhood I really don't remember. But that night, my mother actually hollered at me while everybody else was, I mean, I was bloodied. This neighbor in his brand new car, to this day, the smell of a new car makes me think of this soul, God bless him, who saved my life that night. I was bleeding to death in this man's brand new car from down the street, taking me up to the hospital, which was just at the top of the hill. And my mother was hollering at me because if I would have done as I had told and not been running with a milk bottle, I mean, what kind of attitude is that? And I think my life I've had this anger toward her, and I always hid it by behaving properly. Better not disobey mother. Look what happens when you do. You almost bleed to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and
so
these are the things that are... Pardon?
When they said to Yeshua, how many worksheets should I do around this issue? They said, is seven enough? His answer in Aramaic was 77 times 70.
Yeah.
I think you just came across one of your 77 times 70 worksheet issues.
That's going to be a big one. That
those
two things,
major,
and they're
major,
from so long ago. But they are the foundation
well, you see,
of
the
everything,
mind,
I think.
Yeah, the mind doesn't know anything about time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it was 30 seconds ago or 60 years ago. The mind doesn't know about time. It's just energy. And if that's the energy that's there, and that's the energy that drives perception, the goals that you set are the things that cause your mind to create perceptions out of those issues and that content. When you cancel the goal, that's when you get to drop into what's at the root of it. And bringing love to what's at the root of any traumatic experience is what dissolves the traumatic experience and frees you from its influence.
Okay. Okay.
Awesome. Right on track.
It is awesome. It is awesome. Okay. And then this is normal what I'm going through. I mean, this is what people go through. This is painful.
Yes. Well, except for one thing, most people go through it and just shrink away in their pain. They go out and get themselves some vitamin B, Valium, or whatever.
Yeah.
Doctor, give me a prescription, and they shrink away and they die as a result of it.
Yeah,
you're doing something different. Yeah,
oh,
you're doing something different. You're taking a hold of the opportunity, and you're moving in an uphill direction. And that's the difference of night and day from what most people do.
Everybody needs to know this, and I would like Dr. Tim to know I've been tapping on my K27 since this phone call started, and I appreciate your time so very much. Thank you. And I'm hoping to see you in July, and Jeannie.
Cool.
Thank
now,
you, Jeannie.
Why don't you tell Dr. Tim that personally yourself instead of asking me to tell him?
Is he on the line there, Dr. Tim?
I'm here.
Hello. Hello, I love your EFT, your concepts, your using body work, because to me the helping the body heal the mind is just right where it is. And I think if it weren't for tapping and things like that, I love to listen to you. I love when you're on the downloads. I've only found you all about 2 weeks ago, but I have listened to a lot, and I really appreciate. And I really want to support you, and I'm hoping to be there in probably Missouri, not in Florida. Although my goal is to be out of winter wonderland next year. But that's a goal. Now I need to cancel that goal, don't I, Dr. Mike?
No. Goals are wonderful. Goals are wonderful. The problem isn't with the goal. The problem is that when I load a goal and my goal elicits hostility or fear, then that hostility or fear dumbs me down and I'm in trouble. So I cancel my goal when I recognize that it resonates some form of hostility or fear in me so that I can get to the root of my hostility and fear and be free from it. But otherwise, no, goals are wonderful.
So I relate to
that goal. If I'm going to be out of winter, I'm with you on that goal. I've been doing that one for almost 40 years now.
It's Florida, here I come.
I understand.
Okay.
That's why
it's
I'm in Florida.
Here. Winter is tough. Winter is tough in the cold.
I was born and raised in Canada, and about almost 40 years ago now, I discovered a place they had in the winter, and I moved south. That was a no-brainer for me, so I relate to that goal. That's an awesome goal.
Yeah,
load that goal and you find yourself in fear, then it's the canceling of that goal that opens a pathway for you to get to the root of your fear.
I understand that now, and I see that how I've been immobilized for 18 months because I have been fearful ever since I, made that decision. I've been fearful, and every fear has come to pass. So better goals. All right, thank you very much for your time. And can I stay on the line and just keep listening?
Oh, please do. Dr. Tim, do you have anything else to share? And how do we spell your name, by the way?
My name?
Uh-huh.
Is it with a K or a C?
Oh, with a K.
Okay.
Kathy, with a K.
Cool. All right, Dr. Tim, you have anything else to share with Kathy?
Just congratulations for being willing to do the work.
Oh, thank you. I am willing. I can't wait to do it. Thank you.
It's an awesome opportunity for sure.
It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. That's not a good choice of words. No, it's uplifting. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Thanks for calling, Kathy. Blessings. Buffalo. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we have about 10 more callers with their hands up, but we are down to about 9 minutes.
Let's go for it.
Okay, the next one is area code 863. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. I'm thinking about Kathy, listening to her. Dr. Michael and Jeannie and Dr. Tim, this is Carolyn from Sebring.
And welcome, young lady. Glad to hear your voice.
Yes, yes. I was on the line on Tuesday, but you ran out of time. So, I think I got a lot of my questions answered just listening to you talk to Kathy, because
awesome.
A lot of aha things are going on. Like the, I don't have trouble with a particular person, but the finances seems to has kind of plagued my husband and I. Individually as well as in our married life, we both kind of came in with the big baggage on our shoulders when we got together, and each of us tried to resolve those things, and it never really found a place to work, and now we are looking at some serious issues here because of that. And, you know, I've heard you talk about the generational how that works from generation to generation. And, of course, I see all these family members of that pop into my mind when you talk about that. And then the cellular, call that cellular level or
cellular memory?
To use being in ourselves. And so I guess my challenge is that how, you know, just besides doing the worksheets, of course, I thought taking that class when you're in Sebring, I can lay off those worksheets. I think I get it. And then the other problem I had on Sunday was my son called, and we've had our ups and downs in communication. So just one more time, he pushed a button, and I thought I'd let go of all of it, but that's when I brought out the sheets again, because I realized
the next layer.
It may be an ongoing issue that I would just really like to see released. He was born profoundly hearing impaired, and then he had an accident when he was 31 that took the little bit of remaining hearing that he had and could no longer wear than his hearing aid. And I'm usually the one, when we lived in Indiana, I was the one that he would come to vent. And he had done some work on himself as well, but apparently, you know, we were talking at the wrong time or whatever, and he said something that I allowed it to hurt my feelings. And so I've been thinking about that and doing the sheets here. And so those
so
are
notice,
kind of...
Notice your denial. Notice your denial.
Of... doing the
Did
sheets
you catch
or...
your denial? No.
Uh-huh.
Did you catch your denial there?
Yes.
Do you remember what the definition of denial is?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay.
But I started to write it down.
Okay, you want to read it back to me?
No, tell me, because I can't remember.
No, I want you to read it back to me. I want you to read it back to me.
Okay, hold on. I'm legally blind, too, so that's another sheet. That's a whole other lifetime. But anyway, denial, you take pictures from the inside of your eyeballs, and that's as far as I got.
And you pretend that somebody else is the cause of it.
Oh, that's the biggest part, isn't it?
That's the biggest part. So notice that you said... you allowed him to hurt your feelings.
Yes, yes.
In a billion years, he can't hurt your feelings.
Okay.
In a thousand lifetimes, he has never and never will and never could hurt your feelings. But if you got some hurt feelings in there, is your son going to trigger them for you? For sure.
Okay.
So... remember, the effect of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of something happening inside of me, then I dissociate from the cause that is inside of me. And once I do that, it's no longer mine to change. what the forgiveness process does is it empowers you to go to the part of your mind that holds that dissociated content, crack it open, have exact or direct access to it, and begin to break it down. Now, it might be worth, you know, just looking at your son and how committed he's been to not hearing. I mean, if he was born with hearing impairment.
You have no idea.
You just told me.
He's an artist and photographer, and his claim, I guess, is that when he did lose the rest of his hearing, it made his artwork better because he didn't have to listen to all the negativity in you people, you hearing people, as he refers to us, is you hearing people, you da 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 da. And
yeah.
So then he likes to put back on me.
Yeah. So some worksheets around that for you, but then you might want to look at what's the benefit you hold from not seeing things.
Oh boy, that's about 50 sheets, huh? You can't.
Yeah.
I'm getting all kinds of flashes in my mind as a child. I mean, it's just like they're just one after another, and I can remember the incidences that little things happen that apparently, as you say, are still in there cellularly, and because they just haven't been cleaned up. And
I remember working with a fellow in Texas several years ago. Guy was in his late 60s, and he had hearing aids, and he had difficulty hearing with his hearing aids. And when he went into a forgiveness process, he went back to being about, if I remember correctly, with 10 or 11 years of age, and he was a little bit overweight, and his friends called him Piggy, and he didn't want to hear it. And he literally turned his hearing off.
Wow.
10 minutes later, he's looking around the room kind of startled and saying, why is everybody shouting? It's like, nobody's shouting. But after over 60 years of having, or 55 or so years of having his hearing shut off, he allowed it to turn back on again, and he was hearing again.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So you might want to look at what and when did you not want to see, and go into the safety of being able to see, and you might find yourself able to open that tool up again.
Oh, I can, the medical diagnosis for my problem, is a particular eye disease, and it's genetic. My brother and I both have the same disorder, and so when you say, then I'm just thinking genetically, generations of not wanting to see what's going on around. I can, it's all making sense.
Cool.
Yes, it's
so
all making
sense. There's your next series of worksheets, and now that you understand that on a new level, that's the reason to continue being committed to doing it and moving through those things.
You've got it. I will.
All
I
right.
Will not
well, we're delighted
quite
to be on
any
the
longer.
Team. All right.
Oh,
very
your
cool.
Heart.
Well, we're
I
down
you,
to the
guys.
Last. Well, we're delighted to be on your team, and we're down to the last few seconds, so I do need to close out the show. If there are any other questions or any more support you need, call us tomorrow, and we'll be glad to continue the conversation. In the meantime, if anybody's in the Gainesville, Florida area, I'll be there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday doing a free series of workshops. And if anybody's ready to take their work to the next level, a week from Friday, Gene starts with a 9-day healing the whole woman. I start with a 9-day why is this happening to me again. And then from there, for those who want to go on to still the next level, we'll move into teacher training. So check the website out. Be in touch with us. It's going to be a small group, so there'll be lots of intense one-on-one work to do in those intensives. And we'd be delighted for you to join us. In the meantime, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present 12-step internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.